And it's good to be back again. It's very enjoy being here, enjoy fellowshipping with you all, enjoy being with around Brother Steve again, and what a blessing and a joy he is. And with God's word open before us, I just want to just again a short prayer and ask the Lord's blessing upon this message today. Lord, we do thank you again for your many blessings. Great is thy faithfulness unto me. Lord, we ask that you would bless us this morning. Lord, we come for a blessing. We ask you for it. Lord, we know that you're a prayer-hearing God and you're a prayer-answering God. We thank you for these things, and we ask that you'd meet with us this morning, that you'd meet every need in every heart, and Lord, that you would draw near to those that need comforted and draw near to. Lord, be with us this morning as we search you out in these words. We pray these things in Christ's precious name. Amen. Romans chapter 1, just as I've read earlier in our scripture reading text, but the sermon text is verses 16 and 17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For herein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. You know, I remember back years ago when I farmed, and has it been years ago? I guess it has. It's been years ago when I farmed. I used to spray chemicals on the fields and on the crops. And in the spring, we always sprayed a burn down in the field to kill the existing weeds before planting. And back in the day, we used to just plow. But nowadays, they seem to just spray this burn down and it kills everything off. You just go through there and this makes everything barren. You can go right in there with your no-till planter and then you can plant. But killing these weeds, it lets the seed grow without competition to stealing some of its nutrients and some of its water. So it's essential that this happens. And one day, someone had asked me what chemical I used. And of course, I'm always guarded about telling people what chemicals I use. So, and if I remember right, I just said, mainly we use Roundup as a burn down. And although the real truth of it is we had other things mixed in there, when they said that they used Roundup to spray around their house and their garden, but it didn't work. And so I said, well, where did you buy it? And they said they bought it from Walmart, and I can't remember where, either from Walmart or the hardware store. And I said, oh, that's why it didn't work. And they said, well, what's the significance of that? I said, well, the stuff that they sell to the public is so diluted down that you may have to empty most of the bottle on something to get it to work very well. And you'll have to use quite a bit of it. But it doesn't have the power to knock out the tough weeds. It just doesn't have it. And for the concentrated stuff, you need a chemical applicator's license to just purchase it and use it. But you need this concentrated stuff to knock out, to have the power to knock out the tough weeds. And a couple of weeks ago, we spent some time considering the Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross. And I want to ask the question, what makes Christ's work on the cross so significant? Why is it so effective in saving sinners? And why is the gospel so important? Why is it important to you and to me? And in our text here, we see there's one word that catches my attention in this text, and it's power. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation. Now, salvation is God's great purpose. The whole purpose of these words in this book is to save souls. And the salvation of you and of me, not just in general, but this pointed salvation, it's for individuals, not just in general. And when I say salvation, I mean it in the true sense, not in its general sense. Salvation is not merely a confession that someone makes in haste. It's not the result of raising your hand in a church meeting. And it's not just a small prayer that you've made years ago at the urging of another. Salvation is eternal and everlasting. It's something that your thoughts center on throughout the day. It's something that seeks into your heart, and it's something that you can't possibly live without. It's something that causes you to stop doing what you've done your whole life and turn and go into a different direction. And salvation is what lifts our soul above this vile world that we live in. And true salvation will never stop working in and through you as long as you're here and as long as you're truly saved, because the gospel changes your life. There's power in the gospel of Christ. There's power in it. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. This salvation is from God. It's the power of God. It's from God. We'll see that this salvation is planned by God. It's revealed by God. It's provided by God. And it's accepted by God. That's what gives it its power. That this salvation, it's been planned for us. It's not a salvation that's been invented by governments or institutions to appease the masses. It wasn't conjured up by greedy or perverse men to mislead you into a life of bondage. And it isn't something imagined by kings, monks, squires to control the peasants either. You see, when man invents a religion, he takes God out of it and he puts himself in it. And just like the chemical that they spray on the field, they keep taking more of the active ingredient out to the point that it doesn't work. It doesn't work. When you take the active ingredient out of the chemical, there's no power. When you take God out of salvation, there's no power. There's no power. All you have after that, all you have is burden. Is burden. John 3:16, a very well-known verse to us. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He planned this salvation for us. He gave His only begotten, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This is God's plan, that He loved you. And He gave His Son for you. He gave that because He loved you. He did this for you. God is always giving us things that we didn't know we need until we have them. And this is one of those things. What did we ever do without cell phones, right? Now everybody's got a cell phone, right? Everybody who's above the age of 16 has a cell phone. What did we ever do without it? But here, this is something quite different. This salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ is something that we need, and it's absolutely necessary. He loves us, and it's not His desire that we perish. But salvation is His purpose, and it's through His Son. And He gave His Son to be this foundation of our salvation that we talked about a few weeks ago. But this is a salvation that's not only been planned for us. This is a salvation that's been revealed to us by God. God not only planned it, He revealed it to us. Romans 3:21. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all, and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. You know, in the Old Testament, Christ is revealed to us through types and shadows. And to make you understand that, have you ever seen someone walk into a dark room, into a darkened room, and as they walk closer to the light, their shadow becomes more defined? How when they're far away, it's fuzzy. You might hear footsteps, but you can't quite tell who it is. But the closer they get, their shadow becomes more defined the closer they walk to the light. So as the scriptures, they've slowly revealed the person and the work of our Lord Jesus Christ through these types and these shadows. But now, this veil has been torn away and the doors of this darkness have been thrown wide open. Now, the righteousness of God, without the law, is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. The Messiah has been revealed. No longer does salvation abide behind the veil and the shadows, but the sun has cast its rays upon it, and especially cast its rays in that empty tomb that we have to see. Amen? Amen. The Lord Jesus has triumphed over the grave. He's won. He's victorious. His work's finished. He has suffered. He has bled. He has died. And He has risen. The work is done. It's complete in Him. And now, all we have to do, according to these words, is believe on Him. Is believe in the Lord Jesus, who has accomplished all these things. Believe in Him that He's won your salvation by Himself, by His person and His work. But not only has God given us a salvation, but He wants us to know about it. He's not only given it to us, He wants us to know about it and rejoice in it. Hebrews chapter 1. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in the time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. He speaks unto us. He speaks. You know, in Sunday school this morning, we discussed the Lord Jesus Christ as our high priest, and that's the office that He takes up. He's an eternal high priest. He lives forever. He'll never get tired. He'll never get tired. He'll never fall asleep. He'll never forget about you. You're always in His heart and in His thoughts and in His prayers. He's every pastor's dream. Oh, I want to be like that. He never forgets. He's always, and He'll always be there. And He's always occupied with you. He's never has something better to do. Oh, I'm busy tonight. I'll get to you later. Not the Lord Jesus. He is our faithful high priest, eternal high priest. But this passage here just describes the Lord Jesus as our prophet. He is the light of the world. He's the light of the world. He's the light that shines and illuminates the darkness. And see, the Lord Jesus, He's not merely our example. See, He's full of light, love, and life. He's full of these things as they make up His DNA. He's made up of all these things. He gives us His light. He gives us His love. And He gives us His life. He gives us these things who believe on Him. You know, when you look out at night on a clear night and you see a full moon, is that the moon's light that we see? No, it's not the moon's light. The moon only reflects the light from the sun. It only reflects, it doesn't belong to the moon. It only reflects it. It's the sun's light that we see. When people see a Christian, it's not their light that they see, but it should be Christ's light reflecting for all to see. You know, the world doesn't see our love either. What do they see? They see Christ's love in us. That's Christ's love. He gives this to us. It's His love. He's not just our example. He is love. He is light. And He is life. He's life. It's His life. And if you're living for yourself and you confess to be a Christian, something's wrong. Something's wrong. This is His life that we have now in Him. Jesus, the Lord Jesus, He is our light. He's our understanding. He's our wisdom. God reveals that to us. He wants us to know these things. He wants us to search these things out. in His Word. And all these scripture verses, they're all explained in the light of the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We see these things. So it's a salvation. It's planned by God. It's a salvation. It's revealed by God. It's a salvation that's provided by God. God provides this salvation for us. If you look back in Genesis chapter 22, verses 7 and 8, speaking of Isaac and Abraham, and Isaac spake unto his father, this is their going up to make a sacrifice. Isaac spake unto Abraham, his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here I am, my son. And he said, Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the offering? And Abraham said, God will provide Himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. God will provide Himself a lamb. And He did. God provided Himself in the lamb. In the Old Testament, you had the sacrifice which was killed. You had the blood which was poured out upon the altar to show that the sacrifice was killed. And then you had the high priest who presented the blood to God. And here in the New Testament, Jesus is that perfect sacrifice. That perfect sacrifice that we can never be. That the law requires for the remission of sins. Jesus' blood is shed and it's poured out to cleanse all of our sins, to atone for our sins. And Jesus is our high priest who presents His own blood to God in heaven because He's alive. He's alive. He's both sacrifice and high priest. God will provide Himself a lamb. That lamb was His own son. That lamb was His own son. Jesus' blood did what all those Old Testament sacrifices could never do. And that's atone for sins. And you know why the Old Testament sacrifice never atoned for sins? You know why I say that? Because they had to do them over and over and over again. It's like the man that bought the Roundup at Walmart. He's going back out with his little bottle that he bought and he's spraying all his dandelions every week to try to get them things to die. And it's just not working. It's just not working because there's no active ingredient in it. There's no active ingredient in it. They had to make these sacrifices over and over repeatedly in the Old Testament. But Jesus is that once and for all sacrifice for sins. Once and for all, that's done. The Lord Jesus is everything to us now. Only a sacrifice that was from God can be accepted by God. Amen. Only a sacrifice that's from Him can be accepted by Him. Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Other than the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a salvation that's from God. This is a salvation that's planned by God, provided by God, revealed by God, and accepted by God. And that's why there's power in it. It's because God's in it. Because God is in it. So we've seen this salvation is from God. Now let's see that this salvation has power from God. Let's see the other side. Let's see this power. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, also to the Greek. You know, like I said earlier, this salvation is from God, not from men. Men may be able to conjure up different ways to God, but they can't conjure up power to save sinners. They can't conjure that up. And you know why they can't? Because they take God out of their religion. They take God out of it. Since this salvation is from God, He's put His power in it to save sinners. The same power that rose Jesus from the grave, this resurrecting power, is laid in us. Is laid in us. In the Sunday school this morning, we talked about the union we have to Christ. We're bound to Him by faith. We are so one with Him. If we look on in Romans, In chapters 5 and 6, we're going to see that we're so close to Him that we're considered, when He died, we died with Him. When He was buried, we were buried with Him. He was planted, we were planted with Him. And when He was raised, we were raised with Him. We're that close. We're considered one with Christ. This is the power of the gospel. It has transforming power. It has the power to change Saul of Tarsus, a murderer, to the Apostle Paul, to the minister. Changing from murderer to minister. From Jacob, the supplanter or the con man, to Israel, the father of a nation of God's people. It has the power to change David, the adulterer, to David, who seeks God's forgiveness for what he's done. His heart was broken over what he did. David the adulterer, to David the king. I was speaking the other day with my brother-in-law, and he mentioned that the problem with churches today is that they've forgotten this power of the cross. They've forgotten that. They've forgotten it altogether. And he said, when you see the cross by faith, all your pride and your pettiness and your prejudice, they just dry up and vanish. When you look at Christ, it's so humbling and humiliating. If someone is there suffering what you should have suffered, all these other things dry up and vanish. There's power. There's power in the cross. There's power in His salvation, changing power. And because of this power of the gospel, it has an immediate effect upon your soul. It has this immediate effect. This gospel power, it eases burdens. It eases bread, heals the broken hearts. It gives you peace for mistakes you've made in the past. And that's why I say the gospel is so wonderful. And you may, like I said, mentioned before, you may not be perfect. Well, join the crowd. Nobody's perfect. And there's consequences to what you've done. Maybe you've been a bad dad. Maybe you've been a bad husband. And maybe you've been a bad son. That doesn't matter, because the gospel has hope. The gospel changes things. The gospel changes. And that's where our hope lies. Amen. Amen. People think that money or worldly things will make you happy, but it doesn't. It can't. They can never make you happy because you can never have enough of them. You can never have enough. Once you get one thing, you'll want something else. And once you have a little bit of money, you want more. You want more. There's never enough. There's never enough. Only the power of the gospel can give you joy. Ezekiel 36, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. This is the promise and the power of the gospel, that you'll be transformed by it. And it's real. And if it wasn't real, I wouldn't be here today. Some of you have known me from the past. You've known my sin, how I was. There's changing power in the gospel. I don't mean to exalt myself. I'm exalting the Lord Jesus here. I'm exalting the Lord Jesus here. You might ask now, how might I get this salvation that's accepted by God and changes hearts? The salvation, lastly, is for everyone who believes. The promise of the gospel is for everyone. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. When men invent religions, there's no power behind it because they take God out of it. So they make religion all about working. You have to earn it. Imagine that here there's all kinds of religions in the world that will force you to work to be accepted. Salvation in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ is free to anyone who believes it. It's the only religion in the world that is based on believing and not working. Yeah. Everyone else puts works into their salvation. Everyone else, this is the only one. God's salvation is powerful because God is in it. And all you have to do is believe in it. The Lord Jesus has already done all the work for us. He's lived a sinless life. He's died to suffer the hell on the cross that we deserved. God's Spirit has raised Him from the dead to live forever. And now He sits at the Father's right hand interceding for us. Now all we need to do is to believe in Jesus. The work's done. All we need to do is believe. Look and live. Look and live. Love that song. I know we're not going to sing it now, but trust in Christ. Cling to Him. Cling to Him. Cling to Christ for the work He's done and never let Him go. We'll have a closing hymn now.